إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily our praise is due to Allah, and as such we should seek His help and seek His support and seek refuge in Him from the evil which is within ourselves and the evil which results from our deeds. For whomsoever Allah has guided, none can misguide, and whomsoever Allah has allowed to go astray, none can guide. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last messenger of Allah. The issue this afternoon, which I hope to address, is that of establishment of Islam in the UK. And this issue is of primary importance to each and every one of us, because there is a curse which hangs over our heads, a curse which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enunciated in Surah An-Nisa, the fourth chapter of the Quran, verse 97, in which Allah says, describe in which Muslims die in a state of oppression, die in a state in which they were unable to fulfill their responsibilities to Allah. Allah describes them in a general picture, a general picture which is applicable to each and every one of us. It is applicable at the time of revelation of the Quran, and it remains applicable until the last day of this world. Allah says, إن الذين توفاهم الملائكة ظالمي أنفسهم قالوا فيما كنتم قالوا كنا مستضعفين في الأرض قالوا ألم تكن أرض الله واسعة فتهاجروا فيها فأولئك مأواهم جهنم وساءت مصيرا. When the angels take the souls of those who die in sin against themselves, they say, in what plight were you? Those who die in a state of sin against themselves are those who were disobeying Allah. Their lives were lives of disobedience. They were not implementing the commandments of Allah in their lives. So Allah refers to them as in a state of self-oppression, because our disobedience of Allah in no way oppresses Allah. We only oppress ourselves. When such people die in the state of self-oppression, the angels ask them, what was their situation? And their response is, we were weak and oppressed in the earth. We were weak and oppressed in the earth. We are a minority. Non-Muslims run this country. This is why we can't do this, we can't do that, why we're taking riba, you know, why we're taking bank loans, we're taking student loans, or we're taking out insurance, or, you know, all the different excuses of these things which we know are haram. We say, we were weak and oppressed in the land. The angels will say to them, أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُ فِيهَا. Wasn't Allah's earth wide that you could emigrate in it? You could leave that state of oppression and go to another area where you may fulfill the commandments of Allah. This is the response of the angel. And Allah seals that verse saying, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Those will find their abode in hell, and what an evil refuge. This is a curse. This is a curse which sits over the head of all of us. That if we die in a state of oppression, having been able to emigrate, our end is hell. This is serious. This is not something to joke about. This is our future. This is the hereafter. Allah goes on, of course, to take into account those people who have no opportunity to emigrate, saying, except those who are really weak and oppressed, men, women, and children, who have no means in their power, nor can they find a way to escape, for them there is hope with Allah, that Allah will forgive. For Allah blots out sins and is our forgiving. So Allah is just. Those who have no opportunity, Allah is forgiving. For those who make the effort, and people will say, but you know, to go on hijrah, to make hijrah, to emigrate, to try to leave this place, it's so fraught with difficulties, problems, an uncertain future, because you're leaving the known for the unknown. What does Allah say? He who forsakes his home, who emigrates, forsaking his home in the cause of Allah, for the sake of Allah, finds in the earth many refuges and abundance. This is the promise of Allah. No matter how uncertain the future may seem to you, Allah promises that you will find places of refuge and abundance. And should he die, should the brother or sister die in the process, on the way, making the effort, making that commitment, Allah says, should he die during hijrah for Allah and his messenger, that is hijrah for Allah and his messenger, his reward becomes due and sure with Allah. Paradise. Allah promises him or her paradise. And Allah is up for giving most merciful. This is the picture. Some people say, well, that was hijrah in the time of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And there's a well-known hadith in Sahih Bukhari in the chapter on jihad in which Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, يوم الفتح فتح مكة لا هجرة ولكن جهاد ونية. But the day of the conquest, فتح, إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح, that is the conquest of Mecca, and there is no hijra after that, but instead there is jihad and niyyah, the intention for jihad. Now, if we take that hadith by itself, we say, okay, finish. We can just put hijrah out of the picture and just stay here and, you know, call for jihad. We have the intention. Wave the banners, stick the stickers, you know, jihad. But the point is that we have to look at the sunnah as a completeness. Not just take one hadith out and then say, okay, that's it. Excuse. Because there is another hadith, which is also authentic, narrated by Muawiyah, that he heard Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم say, لا تنقطع الهجرة حتى تنقطع التوبة. Hijrah, that is, emigration, will not end until repentance ends. ولا تنقطع التوبة حتى تطلع الشمس من مغربها. And Toba will not end until the sun rises from the west. So the hijrah is still there. The hijrah which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam cancelled in the first hadith of Sahih Bukhari, this was the hijrah to Medina. Finish. Yes, after the conquest of Mecca, the hijrah to Medina ended. Prior to that conquest, it was compulsory to make hijrah to Medina. To build, to establish the Islamic order, Muslims were obliged. But after the conquest of Mecca, finished. Now Muslims could reside in Mecca, or in Medina, or in any areas that Muslims were now under control. So that hijrah was over. But the general commandment for hijrah, which is found in the verse of Surah An-Nisa, that one remains until the sun rises in the west. And since it hasn't risen yet, it means that it is applicable to us. This is an obligation. Now, what is the relevance to that in establishing Islam in the UK? It sounds like I just told you all to leave. Get out of here. What are we doing here then? Well, the point is that when Muslims have settled in an area, they have either to leave that area if they cannot practice Islam, or the other option is to establish Islam. That is the other option. For those people who are just living British lives, they have become rich, happy, you've reached the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. For them, this curse applies. Who are satisfied just to live here, live a comfortable life, allow their children to go to non-Muslim schools and become non-Muslims, either in fact or theoretically. They live on riba, the food they eat is haram, the clothes they wear is haram, the house they live in is haram, but mashallah, Allah ghafoor rahim. They wait and depend on Allah is the most merciful. This curse is there for them. For those who realize the responsibility of being in this land, to establish Islam here and to convey Islam to the people of this land, for them, there is an excuse for being here. They are justified in being here. So this is the significance with regard to establishing Islam in the West. We have an obligation We are here. We have an obligation to establish Islam or leave. Struggle to establish Islam here or leave. Otherwise, we are empty. How can we establish Islam here in the West? Can it be done as individuals? Individuals scattered all over the country, living private individual lives? No. All of Islam demands community. All of the commandments of Islam demand of us the establishment of community. The Shahada is not accepted unless there are witnesses. The community needs to know. Salah, the Salah in Jama'ah, the 25, 27 times more that of the Salah by yourself. Salatul Janazah, when you die, is done by a group. Fasting, Eid, Eid al-Fitr, this is the community. Zakah, collection of zakah and its distribution, this is community activity. And Hajj. Hajj is what? The world community of Muslims congregating in Mecca to fulfill the commandments of Allah. Islam demands community. If we are to establish Islam here, then it is necessary for us to establish community. Community is not meeting brothers and sisters in the masjid once a week, giving salams to each other, how's life, and then carrying on. This is not community. It's a congregation, but it is not community. This is not the community that the Prophet ﷺ established. We say we follow the Quran and the Sunnah, but that is not the community that the Prophet ﷺ established. He established a masjid, which became a center of education, which was surrounded by the Muslims. An environment of Muslims. We know here that the environment turns Muslims into kafirs, believers into disbelievers. The environment does it. Prophet Muhammad sallam said, "Kullu mawludin yuladu ala al-fitra." Every child is born with that natural belief in Islam as a Muslim. But it is the fathers and mothers, abawahu yuhawidani aw yumajjisani, it is the parents, the environment that he grows up in or she grows up in, which turns them into a Christian or a Jew or a Zoroastrian or an atheist. The environment. The establishment of Islam here requires the establishment of an environment of believers. Not an ethnical environment, not a community of Somalis or Pakistanis or Egyptians, because we have those, but a community of believers. And this is where the issue of Hijra can be manifest right here in England. Muslims who realize the need for establishment of community can work together, can plan and establish in some part or parts of England communities of believers. This is something which is feasible. This is something which is required if we are ultimately to establish Islam in this land. That community should have in it all of the necessary components to fulfill the needs of any self-sufficient living community. Islamic education, which was among the topics of this time, is a component. It is not the answer to all of our problems. It is a part of the answer. Islamic education is a requirement. It is the duty of parents to provide for their children an Islamic education. This is a duty and a requirement, a responsibility. Every single Muslim child who goes through the system, who deviates from Islam by going to government schools, etc., the responsibility for those children are born. The sin of their deviation is borne by the community as a whole. طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. Seeking knowledge is compulsory for every Muslim. We all know this. We repeat it. Every conference, every gathering. But how is the seeking of knowledge effectively established? It has to be established through institution, through community. The schools have to be established. The community has to be established. I'm not saying necessarily that we cannot establish schools before we establish community. An effort has to be ongoing. People have to be thinking beyond their personal lives. Many of us here are involved in education, in schools, studying in universities, in colleges, etc. But what are we studying? What are our goals? If our goals are to get a job that is going to earn us a lot of money so we can get a nice place, a nice car, and, you know, comfortable life, then our priorities are twisted and distorted. We haven't understood the seriousness of our situation here. Our education should be focused in the areas which are necessary to build community here. Meaning, if our intention is to be here and to stay here, to work here, then our skills should be the kind of skills which will build a community. Not skills which cannot be applied in this community or in any community around the world. Meaning you major in certain areas of theoretical studies where you end up with a degree which only puts you in a laboratory in one of the big multinational corporations here where you cannot benefit the community. You're cut off. If you went even back home to the Muslim countries, your knowledge is of such a level that you cannot apply it. There is no place for you. This is a mistake. People get into these areas either because I like it, this is what is pleasing to me,
or because that's where a lot of money is. And these two intentions are wrong. Seeking knowledge in Islam is ibadah. When Prophet Muhammad said seeking knowledge is compulsory, faridah, he is telling you it is ibadah. Salah is a faridah. He used the same term to describe salah as to describe seeking knowledge. Seeking knowledge is ibadah. And that's why Prophet Muhammad said, من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له طريقا الى الجنه. Whoever goes out on a path seeking knowledge, Allah makes the path to paradise for him or her easy. It's ibadah. For it to make the path to paradise easy for you, it's got to be ibadah. We will not get to paradise except by fulfilling the commandments of Allah. So seeking knowledge is ibadah. In fact, Prophet Muhammad in another authentic narration said, "Ad-dunya mal'una, mal'unun ma fiha." The whole of the world is cursed, and everything in it is cursed. Illa dhikrullah, except the remembrance of Allah. Wa ma wala, and what helps you to remember Allah. Wa aliman wa muta'allima, and the scholar, the teacher, and the student. He has said that everything is cursed except the remembrance of Allah, and what helps you to remember Allah? The scholar and the student. This is all pointing to the fact that knowledge, the seeking of knowledge, is ibadah. And that's how we have to look at it. Of course, there are priorities in knowledge. There is knowledge which, if you don't have it, you can't make it to paradise. Okay, so that has to come first. This is the basic knowledge of the deen. What you need to protect yourself from disobeying Allah in your daily life. That is first and foremost. But then there's knowledge, which is what they would refer to as fard kifaya. Knowledge which the community needs. Without it, the community falls into sin. This is knowledge of medicine, knowledge of engineering, and all the types of knowledge which are necessary to establish the community. And ultimately that knowledge is from Allah. This is what Allah has told us. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. This is confirming this knowledge is from Allah. The true knowledge, which is the basis of technology and science, mathematics, etc., etc., this is from Allah. To gain that knowledge for the sake of Allah is ibadah, is a part of ibadah. And this is what we need to have in our minds as we develop ourselves, we go into studies, etc., we go into different professions. It is essential for us to understand what should be the goals of our education. Goals which connect us to community and connect us to Allah. So, the establishment of Islamic schools is a necessity, is an obligation on the community here, as is the establishment of Muslim clinics, Muslim dental surgeries, whatever you call them here. All of the basic components which make up a community it is compulsory on them. Muslim banks, Muslim financial institutions that will save the community from falling into riba. There needs to be people gaining that knowledge, or who have that knowledge, who will utilize it to protect the community. The Hijra. Practically speaking, it is possible for people who are concerned to choose one place or two places or whatever in England where there is a potential for Muslims to emigrate. Within England, a town where Muslims are able to congregate in areas, to purchase areas, to develop these areas into a living community. Where the masjid is filled for Salatul Fajr, because Muslims are all around that area. Where there are no drugs, no alcohol, no cinemas and things like this in that given area that Muslims control. Because it would be established on the basis of faith, not on the basis of culture, nationalism, but on the basis of faith. This is the most important responsibility that faces us here in England. And anything which diverts us from fulfilling that responsibility, we have to struggle against. We have to fight against. The forces of Shaitan do not want us to succeed. And they will interfere, they will intercede, they will cut off this way for us. They will create confusion amongst our ranks in order to divert us from this responsibility. A responsibility to ourselves and a responsibility to our children. So many people want to learn. We want to get Islamic knowledge, but where to go? How can we leave this country? We have children and all this. Community with its institutions can educate the community. The school is not just a school for the children, it is a school for the adults as well. Programs can be there systematically educating the members of the community, the women and the men and the children. Education should be available on a regular and consistent basis. This is the foundation that we have to build. And all those forces which would seek to prevent people from getting knowledge, from coming together and establishing such communities, these forces are under the influence of Shaitan. This is the reality. The common tactics of these forces include slander, backbiting. This is the most effective. People are maligned, their honor is besmirched as a means of cutting off people from supporting their efforts. I'm sure many of you are well aware of some of the slander and backbiting and lies, etc., which have circulated in the country in an effort to stop this community struggle, the struggle to enlighten members of the community, to raise their level both spiritually as well as practically in the fiqh, in the sharia, and the understanding of the deen. But in the end, each and every one of us has to look inside himself and ask, if we die tomorrow or today, what do we have to say to the angels when they ask us about our state of self-oppression? What is that? If we have the same answer, then Allah has promised us power. If we have the same answer, we had a means to do otherwise, Allah has promised us health. And if this doesn't mean anything to us, then faith is a sham. Allah describes the believers as those who, when they hear the verses of Allah recited to them, their hearts are softened, their hearts quiver. وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُ. Their hearts quiver. They know that they have to do what Allah has commanded. They recognize their faults. They don't duck. They don't try to hide and find excuses here and there to justify not obeying the commandments of Allah. They accept it. Take it to their heart. Ask Allah's forgiveness and try to fulfill their responsibility to Allah. Because in the end, that is what it is all about. If we die knowing that we have striven our utmost to fulfill our duty to Allah, then alhamdulillah, we have no fear. We can stand before Him and know we did our best. But if we die knowing that we have not made that effort, we have not committed ourselves to the obedience of Allah in our personal lives, in the lives of our families, in the lives of our children, the life of our community. If we die knowing that we haven't, then it is all over. It is all over for us. All that we face in the next life is punishment, is regret, is despair. So my brothers and sisters, let us reflect on this responsibility. A responsibility which Allah has put on our shoulders, telling us, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. That Allah does not burden any soul more than it can bear. Allah didn't put this on us, and it is impossible for us to fulfill it. It may seem difficult. It may appear to be a great uphill monumental task. How? But we have to believe that there is a way. And we have to die striving to find that way. If we die in that strife, Allah promises us paradise. If we don't, He promises us hell. This is what is impossible. We have to rededicate ourselves. We have to decide whether we are Muslims for real or whether we are just Muslims in name. We go through the motions, We attend the conferences. We make salah. But it is all external. It is all external. Because whilst doing that, we also slander people. And we backbite. And we cheat. And we steal. And we beg. We do all the other things which Islam has forbidden. Either our commitment to Allah is real, and we live in accordance with that commitment, or we are hypocrites, munafiqun, about whom Allah has said, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Indeed, the hypocrites, those who pretend to be Muslims, will be in the lowest levels of the hellfire. Those who pretend to be Muslims. So, brothers and sisters, let us not take this lightly. Let us not leave here and come back in 2 years' time to hear me tell you the same thing again. Let us make the effort. There are enough people. There are enough people all around this country who are concerned, who want to make a difference. Those of you that have that commitment have to find each other. Many are here, or some, and many are elsewhere. But ultimately, we have to find each other. We have to find each other and put our hands in the hands of each other and establish this deen, establish Islam here, or die trying. Of course, there are many issues and questions on a very practical level, which I'm sure many of you would like to ask. Inshallah, we'd like to give you a sufficient amount of time to get at least some of them off. So, I will stop at this point. And